going to do, we're going to go ahead and sing one more congregational hymn before we have our various specials. So since Brother Marco was talking earlier about Baptist loving to eat and all of that type of stuff, we're going to sing Come and Dine, hymn 291, if you're able to rise. We're going to sing Come and Dine, the first and last verses, the first and last verses of hymn 291. Come and dine. Let's sing. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With the manna he doth feed and supplies of every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. Hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white. And Jesus, they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. This opportunity to wave at each other and fellowship as we prepare for the first special.
Do something from scripture. So I've got a letter from one of our missionaries, the Aquilino family. If y'all remember him and his wife, they sent us a letter, and I thought it was really pretty interesting, just because of the application that you can make. So I'll just kind of hit the high spots. He said, on Wednesday, June 3rd, after 2.5 month lockdown, we started having church services again. They couldn't use our multi-purpose building because they were only allowing adults to meet together. So, but the members were happy. They were glad to get out. So on June 14th, they said they celebrated their 6th anniversary. Then on July 4th, the news came, the number of infected had increased, so they put everything on a 24-hour lockdown, or again, where they're in their houses again, 24-7, until July the, when I just read that, until the end of July. Then in August, it said they were excited to have church again, but they only had a few adults. It said the number of people getting the virus kept increasing. And because the hospitals were overloaded with virus patients, they locked down everything again until March 15th. So it said since March 15th until now, anyone from 20 years old and under were not permitted to go outside. And so they just kind of, they had them all come back in. So they went out and they bought a little hut. It was called a HIPAA hut.
You know what that is?
Yeah, what is that? Okay, so what they were going to do is said they bought a HIPAA hut, 5x7, 20,000 pesos, which is about $400. So they bought one, and then when they delivered it, they gave them one that was 8x9. So, and they're going to use that to try to pass out tracts and things of that nature to try to do what they can to tell people about the Lord. And then it said, then they had a missionary from Philly that came and planted a vegetable garden. And this is what I thought was kind of just typical of what Satan does with the gospel. He said, I prayed, planted the seeds, and with great pride set back to watch it grow and produce. First, our neighbor's goats came and had a feast in the garden. When they were done, the chickens came. And then after the chickens were through, he said, the weeds grew up. So he said, after fighting off the goats, chickens, and weeds, I saw the vegetables starting to grow. Then the worst happened. A hungry army of bugs and ants came. He said, thousands of them. And after my first crop was devastated, I planted more seed, but with the same results. Not giving up, I planted different vegetables, And through prayer and hard work, he said, they're growing. And he said, I'm waiting for it to produce fruit. He said, God says in all labor, there's profit. And so, you know, that's just like the Bible says, if we plant the seed, then the devil comes along and robs the seed of the gospel away from us. And, you know, they come in all shapes and sizes. They come in shapes of goats, amen. Right. And some they come in chickens. And then if that don't work, he sends the ants and the bugs. But that's just the way God does. He tries to rob us of anything that God might give us according to the gospel. But listen, but we can't give up.
Right.
Listen, that's what we're facing nowadays and with all these other things going on. I think if we're not careful, we have a tendency to give up. And God's people are a little more apt to maybe not give up, but we have a tendency to give in, and it gives inroad to what the devil does. And if he gets an inch, he's going to take a mile. So God help us just to stand and stand firm on what he wants us to do. So he said, final thoughts, he said, any building we enter, he said, our temperature is taken, our hands are sanitized, a face mask, face shield are required. Almost all the people we meet are fearful of catching the virus. They're shut down right now still. They just closed down again the other day. So they're not letting anybody in or out. They said the stores and malls are empty. The economy is suffering and people have little money to pay their bills and buy food. And that's what the Marcos were doing while they were over there. If you remember, we were sending some money over there to help them as well as other churches. And they were feeding families because the families had no way to make a living and feed themselves. And now they're facing that again. The bad part is, and I'm glad they're home, but now there's no one over there really to help. And so y'all pray for the Aquilino family. I haven't heard from him. He usually calls me or emails me every once in a while. So keep them in your prayers. They're just south of Manila a little ways. So I know that they would appreciate it. This letter was dated in August of 2020. So please keep them in your prayer. All right. Well, I'm not going to, look in Ruth. Let me just give you this, and then we've got about five or six people that are going to sing some songs. Brother Will may or may not be one of them. in Ruth, chapter 1, verse 9, you turn there. I won't read, but I want to kind of give you just an introduction of the message. But if you notice in chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, and he said, who art thou? And she answered, she said, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid, and spread therefore my skirt over thine hand, for thou art a near kinsman. And she goes on, and she begins to talk about a place of rest for her and for Naomi. But what I want you to see here is just introduction. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And if you look in chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm going to back up. Now, we're going to come back to verse 9. It says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And so she's looking for a place of rest. And I found this deal the other day that says that it's estimated that about every 30 minutes in the United States, somebody commits suicide. Every 30 minutes. And it's a sad thing. And by the way, pray for my friend. He was my associate in Pampa. Pray for him. He struggles. His son, Calvin, a good young man. Him and his mom are real close. I watched them boys grow up, and he's the young man that went out in the front yard of his daddy's house and shot himself just a couple of months ago. And I talked to Brother Randy about once every 3 or 4 days, and he called me the other day. Struggling, praying, he misses his son, and it's a sad thing. But that's what's happening today that the devil does. He makes us have an unrest in our minds and in our hearts, and a lot of people think that the only way out is to commit suicide, and that is never, never the right choice, ever. And so when we come to verse 9, we need to remember that at this stage in Naomi's life, she's away from God. And when I thought about this, if you look in verse 9 and read that verse, you got to remember that anybody that is away from God, they never give good spiritual advice. Never. They don't get close. They don't almost hit it. They never give good spiritual advice. And if you've noticed, when other people, Christians, and they're leaning outside the will of God, and if they're trying to find some advice, if they're not careful, people that are already have that propensity and to go in that direction, they always go find that person that's already out of the will of God to get their advice.
Right, right, right.
And the reason they do that is because they're trying to find someone to tell them what they want to hear.
Right, right.
So a person out of the will of God or away from God never gives good spiritual advice. You remember Naomi when she told her daughters? What'd she tell them? The first time she gave them advice, she said, "You go back to Moab."
Right, right.
Listen, never does a person out of the will of God give good advice. And so she told her daughters, go back to Moab to find rest. And she's sending them back to where God is not there. They're pagans, and so they're away from God. It's a bad situation. And by the way, and I just wrote, the world that we live in is not much better informed and advised on where to find rest than Ruth was when Naomi was giving her bad advice. So our society searches for peace, but it's all in vain because they search for it outside the person of God Himself. And you can't find peace anywhere else but in the Lord Jesus Christ. So people search for peace and possessions. They'll never be happy. I thought this was pretty interesting. There's a guy named Jeff Ferreira. He lived in Waukegan, Illinois. He's balancing his check, true story, balancing his checkbook one day. So he calls the bank to get a balance, and the electronic voice comes on the phone, and it says, "Your balance is $924,844,204.32. Amen. Now, if I thought I could get away with it, I'd go out and buy something immediately, you know. But the fact is, 826 other customers were almost billionaires at the same time because the bank goofed. And they began to, somehow, the electronic system started putting all kinds of money in all these other accounts. And it amounted to $764 billion. In the accounts of 826 people. Now, I would like to be able to say that I was a millionaire for a short period of time. You know, even if it was a goof up, that would have been a nice thing. But a lot of people look for happiness in money and in the possession of things. Yeah. But money does not make you content or satisfied in your soul.
Right.
Somebody said this: money will buy a bed, but not sleep. It will buy books, but not brains, food, but not appetite, a house, but not a home, medicine, but not health, amusement, but not happiness. And the book of Ruth and the story of Ruth is rooted in the culture of the Old Testament. And from the beginning of the Old Testament, when God began to work with his people, Israel, watch, he always reminded them of two things. One, he covenanted with them. Now watch this. He always told them that they were a special people, always. And they never quite got it. You know, it seemed like every time you turn around, and I'm reading through the Old Testament, and you read of the kings, almost every time you read of a king, it says, "And he did that which was evil," just like the Jeroboam did before him in the sight of God. But listen, they've forgotten that they were a special people. God made them special. Well, we're special. We're a peculiar people. We are children of God, and we are rich in what we have in Christ Jesus. And so God is reminding the Jews that they are a special people. But the second thing he reminds them of, he tells them that they had a special place, and he had ordained a special place for them. And when you look at chapter 3, it's a continuation of God's promises of his people concerning a place and a people. When you get to chapter 3, there's two things, and this is what I wanted to give you, because when it talks about, there's two words here, and the first one is the word Levir, L-E-V-I-R, and it means husband's brother-in-law, okay? Levir, it's where we get our word leverate from. And in the Old Testament, you remember this, the brother of a man who died, if he died without kids, then he would marry the deceased man's wife in order to rear up a child that would carry on the family name.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That is known as a levirate relationship or a levirate marriage, where the brother-in-law marries his dead brother's wife. Okay? Now, if you, in fact, look in Deuteronomy, let me give you this verse of scripture, because this talks about this. Deuteronomy chapter 25. And look in verse 5 and 6. It says, if brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry, shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which he beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. So that's something that God teaches us. It's a levirate marriage. The second word is the word goel, G-O-E-L, which is translated where we get our word redeemer, okay? The goel was a near kinsman who was to act as a redeemer of a person's or property. Now look in Leviticus, all right? Leviticus, and look in chapter 25. I'll get there in a second. Leviticus 25, look in verse 25. It says, if thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Verse 28 says, but if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee, and in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. So this word goel is the word redeemer. Every Jewish family had a piece of property that was theirs by virtue of their inheritance. And we were talking about this a while ago. We were watching our Israel trip on the TV back here during lunch. And they showed a man laying down out there on the street. And I remember asking our guide, her name was Susan, if you see Miss Billy, Miss Billy reminds me of our guide, Miss Susan. But I asked her, I said, Miss Susan, how many homeless people do you think they have here in this area? And she said, 7. And I said, 7? I said, how do you know that? She said, because Israel takes care of her own. They said if somebody doesn't have something, then they make sure that they have a place. They give them a job. They give them a place to live because they want them to be productive, a productive citizen and a productive part of society here in Israel. And so she said 7. And I thought, well, this deal about this piece of property, it almost goes right into that. Because if this piece of property, watch, it was theirs by virtue of their inheritance. And the Bible teaches that even if a person became totally poor, if they had lost everything that they had, then a member of the family was supposed to buy that property back on their behalf.
Right.
So when a person lost his property, one of the family members, a goel or the redeemer, they would buy it back so that family wouldn't lose its inheritance. So just as the levir would perpetuate the race, or the people, the goel would perpetuate the property or the place for that person. So they always had a place, and they always had someone there to help them out. Well, I thought, what a picture that is of you and me. Listen, our goel or our redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And listen, no matter where we are, we always know that he is there ready to bring us back or to purchase us out of the slave market of sin, so that we can be a part of the inheritance of God himself. So it's important that we understand what the book of Ruth is telling us. And I don't want to get into the rest of that because it's going to take me about 2 weeks to preach that. But I'm thankful today that we have our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, sometimes we let the world rob us of everything. But isn't it neat how we can always come back to our Father? Listen, we are a special people. And we have a special place. That special place is not only in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, but one of these days it's going to be in heaven itself, and I'm looking for that day. Well, let me have a quick word of prayer, and we're going to have some singing. All right, we got about 25 minutes, so we got to fill that up. 25 minutes. That's about 4 minutes a song, so that's 5 songs. So, Brother Will, you may have to sing. All right, okay. We'll let Brother Will sing first, okay? Because he likes to be first, and he wants to get out of the way. All right, amen. Father, help us, Lord. I thank for our people, and I'm thankful that we can come to your house and have a good time, Lord. I'm thankful, God, today that you're our Redeemer. I'm thankful, Lord, that God, you're there for us. We have a special place in your heart, Lord, and one of these days we're going to take up residence in that special place called heaven. Lord, you've gone to prepare a place for us. God, watch over us today. Bless our singing here in just a few minutes. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Will.
It may not be on a mountain's height over the stormy sea. It may not be at a battle's front. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths that I do not know, I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. Perhaps today there are loving words which Jesus would have me speak. There may now be in the paths of sin some wanderer whom I should seek. Oh, Savior, if thou wilt be my guide, the dark and rugged the way, my voice shall the message sweet, I'll say what you want me to say. There's surely somewhere a lonely place in earth's harvest field so wide, where I may labor through life's short day for Jesus. I'll do thy will with a heart sincere. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Mountains or plain or sea, I'll say what you want me to say. Thank you.
the way, feel free to sing along to the songs we are singing. You know them?
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
I want to do a duet with the old trio and the young trio.
A privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me. Bow the knee. He is King of all the ages. Bow the knee. God alone on his throne. See him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him.
All adore him.
As you live to love him more and bow the knee.
His hand he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him. When I humbly see his face and
bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne. See him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him.
All adore him.
As you live to love him more and bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee.
Got a little high though, I think. Brother Marco now, he says, only brothers can pick on one another publicly like that, you know? You know, I remember, you know, when you think back of your own family, you always rib them, you know, like that. So, but that's pretty good. Brother Brandon, I never will forget your name. I'm sitting here looking at you. You got one you want to sing? Okay, come on. All right. We're real formal, okay? Come on. Yeah. He does now. Y'all please make sure you check the new song sheet out there, okay? I've revised that the last couple of weeks, so make sure you look when you're supposed to sing, all right? You know, when Brother Brandon gets through, we got a new special from someone. I'll just let them come up and they can introduce themselves, okay? Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. I heard them singing a while ago. They did pretty good. It wasn't nothing like what I said earlier either, I promise. All right, Brother Brandon, go ahead.
I probably shouldn't have taken the mint, but we'll see how we do without water. Thank God for His Word.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His blood.
When the angry winds are blowing and the storm is all around, oh, how sweet it is in knowing that a refuge I have found. I stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages and safe. Within its shelter I will be, the winds they blow, and the angry storms all around me rages upon the rock of ages I shall stand. This rock is Christ, my Savior, my soul he will defend. Trusting daily in his favor, on his promise I depend. I stand upon the blessed holy rock of ages and safe. Within his shelter I will be, the winds may blow, and the angry storm all around me rages upon. The rock of ages I shall stand.
I stand
upon the blessed holy rock of ages and safe. Within his shelter I will be, the winds they blow, and the angry storm all around me rages upon. The rock of ages I shall stand
upon.
The rock of ages I shall stand.
Well, here in just a minute, Brother Andrew, I want all your fans to go ahead and fill one of these out. This is a mentorship thing, okay? I mean, that's good. I like that, you know. So anyway, that's awesome. And I noticed that, you know, early when before Caden was born, Brother Tracy, I know that my girls, they seem like I always got left out. You ever feel that way sometimes? Yeah. Okay. All right. Did you? Oh, so he can sing. Amen. See, it all starts coming. See, those are the kinds of things you got to try to keep to yourself. You know, so the pastor doesn't hear all that, because he'll use, you know, he will use it against you, I promise, all right? So, I know. Miss Rachel, you want to sing? Why don't you come sing and finish up for us? Brother Will, why don't you come and help Miss Rachel and come sing one for us, okay? January the 31st is there's a fifth Sunday in November. January also has five Sundays. And, you know, depending on how things are after the first of the year with all this other stuff, we may do a fifth Sunday singing that day. And if we do that and everything's kind of, you know, back in order, back to some form of normalcy, what we may do is we may have lunch here at the church and then just come right back and have a fifth Sunday singing, okay? But we'll kind of play it by ear, all right? We'll go ahead and we'll have the singing anyway, but the lunch and stuff, we'll play that by ear, okay? So so put that on your calendar, okay? And I'll go ahead and give it to y'all.
Well,
Brother
Tracy,
this is my favorite hymn.
Jesus.
Everybody's joining now. Amen. Amen. Come on. Finish it with us.
Does this work?
The best one.
I was born for this.
Amen.
For his grace, none of us would be able to be here today, and so for that I'm thankful. Thank you for coming back this afternoon, and thank you, ladies, for singing. That was good. I like that. Nick, now y'all get another song ready, and maybe Dad will sing with you, okay? All right. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. What about Andrew? Yeah. We'll work him in there too somehow. Amen. So thank you. I'm thankful for Central Park Baptist Church. Man, I love our church, and I'm thankful for what God's done for us. I'm thankful for the spirit of the church, even through COVID and all the things that Satan has tried to do to us. But listen, God shall stand, amen, and his people will stand. And so I'm just want to encourage you, stay with it, because there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We're about to get there. Our crowds have been strong in the last several weeks, and so let me encourage you. Our offerings have stayed strong through it all, so let's just stay the course. Stay the course, and let me encourage you, be ready to go. Wednesday night, please be back, be in your place, 7 o'clock, ready to go, Book of Ephesians. And so, I forgot the lesson. We're on like number 11 through the Book of Ephesians. We're on week number 9 and through the Book of Ruth. I think the T-books, I think the message this morning was either 19 or 20. So listen, there is so much stuff in here, good stuff. It's like digging for gold. You find a little nugget, and you know what you want to do? You just want to keep on digging. And so let me encourage you, be back Wednesday night. Ladies, don't forget Tuesday morning, all right, for your ladies. That's what time, ladies? 10 o'clock. So please come, ladies, be a part of that. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Is there anything Thursday and Friday? I don't think so. Saturday morning, remember, each Saturday, you can come, whatever you can come. I want to encourage you to come. Saturday's 9:30, and we'll get ready to go. Please pray that God will help us, keep us together, but let's give him the glory for all things. Amen. Father, help us, Lord, today. Thank you, God, for our people, and thank you, God, for their faithfulness. Lord, thank you for all the songs today. Lord, what a blessing, God, it is to just sit back and listen to the talent, God, that you've placed in the lives and hearts of your people. God, and help. Thank you, Lord, for them being willing to use it for the cause of Christ. And, Lord, for your honor, for your glory. Bless us today. Lord, watch over us. Help us have a good rest of the day. Rest. Help us, God, to give us traveling graces home. And we'll be mindful to give you the praise and the glory for it, because it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.